I really saw that in the end, it was no different in a place like Amsterdam or Copenhagen than it was in a place like San Francisco or Portland or Chicago. They committed to build the infrastructure. They committed to, you know, build support systems that actually did encourage bicycling. Now, obviously, they've done a lot more of that in places like Amsterdam and Copenhagen. They're way ahead of us.
Well, progress is relative, isn't it? That's my guest, Leah Shaham. She's the executive director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. And, well, most cities that I know of would be looking up to San Francisco and everything that that great city has accomplished in terms of building bicycle infrastructure. Well, I'm your host today, Frank Peters, and this is my show, CDM Cyclist. Remember, the CDM comes from Corona del Mar, a little neighborhood in Newport Beach, California. And in Newport Beach, we've just commenced the process. It's a long one, of creating a bicycle master plan. And some months ago, I was up in San Francisco for the annual financial conference. I organize a bike ride the past 3 years. Cities vary, but the bike ride is a great team-building exercise. I spent an evening with a few friends and Leah Shaham over dinner. I came away from that dinner just dying to get her on the show today. Let's listen.
My name is Leah Shaham, and I'm the executive director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition.
Well, Leah, it's great to have you on the show. I have been eager to get you here so that my audience could meet you too.
Thanks.
Now, we connected through Jeff Miller at the Alliance for Biking and Walking. How do you know Jeff?
That's right. I've known Jeff for years. You know, we were peers when he was running the main Bicycle Coalition. And then I was thrilled that he became the executive director of the Alliance for Biking and Walking, which, of course, is a national group really helping to unite, foster, and advance bicycle and pedestrian coalitions across the country. Mm-hmm. And today I serve on the board of directors of the Alliance for Biking and Walking.
You do. Yeah. Now, Jeff, you got to say, he's well suited for the role he's in. What do you think?
Yes, you need a lot of energy to keep up with this movement, and he definitely has that.
He definitely has it, right.
Yeah.
And I appreciate Jeff for connecting the two of us. Now, let's see, how about a brief description of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition, Leah? How do you describe it? You got a few facts and figures for us?
Sure thing, yeah. The San Francisco Bicycle Coalition has been around since the early 70s, actually. One of the longest running bicycle coalitions in the country. And we have today almost 12,000 members. So we're also one of the largest bicycle coalitions in the country. We are a nonprofit, and our mission is promoting bicycling for everyday transportation. I think one of the things that's particularly noteworthy about the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition is really how member-driven and volunteer-driven we are. We account for about 16,000 volunteer hours each year.
Wow.
And so it's very much, you know, member-based, member-run. We do a lot of work, whether it be, developing our strategy, including members, to really hitting the ground, advocating. It really is the folks who are our members that get things done. So I'm really proud of that. And I'd say that, you know, like many big cities, we've been thrilled to be making big progress in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Probably most noteworthy is that San Francisco has seen an increase of 71% in bicycle trips just in the last 5 years.
Wow.
And we're really proud of that.
So that's a noticeable number. Everybody, every motorist, every pedestrian observes that too then.
You really do. It's interesting. I mean, whether you're someone like me who's been biking in the city for 20 years or perhaps someone who's never been on a bike in the city, when I get talking with folks, they really mention that and they really notice that. Wow, there's so many more people biking today. What's going on? So that feels good. It's noticeable.
So, of course, I'm from Newport Beach, California. We're just beginning our long process of, making the city more bicycle friendly. And from time to time, I hear friends and peers in the community here that they'll say something like, whether it's related to Portland or San Francisco, oh, people are different up there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really the case. They may be different up there, but it's a lot of hard work, isn't it? There's really no personality traits that make one city more conducive than another, is there?
No, it really isn't. Sure. I think, when you look around at American cities, you look somewhere like San Francisco that is quite hilly.
Yeah,
and then
right.
You look somewhere like a Chicago or a New York, which is, obviously much flatter, but very different weather conditions and other challenges. You know, in any of these cities, you can see, and you actually are seeing, the huge growth in bicycling. So I think I really learned that lesson most, and it kind of was driven home most to me when I was able to spend about 10 months in Amsterdam in 2010. I actually was fortunate enough to have time to have a sabbatical there and had a wonderful time, but thought, oh gosh, the Dutch, the Northern Europeans, they're different. They must have something in their blood that, just draws them to bicycling more. It's something about those Europeans. But, after spending some time there, meeting with people, talking with people, learning more about the history, I really saw that in the end, it was no different in a place like Amsterdam or Copenhagen than it was in a place like San Francisco or Portland or Chicago. They committed to build the infrastructure. They committed to, build support systems that actually did encourage bicycling. Now, obviously, they've done a lot more of that in places like Amsterdam and Copenhagen. They're way ahead of us. And hence, they're seeing tremendous returns, 30, 40% of trips by bicycle. Now, we're still under that, of course, but I do believe we're getting there. And I think it really is about the investment in safe, comfortable biking infrastructure and in systems that really do mainstream bicycling.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about the League of American Bicyclists? They award cities different ratings of bicycle-friendly community. What's San Francisco?
Yeah, we are gold. I believe that's right. It goes gold and platinum. I know we're not number one. Yeah. We're not the best. We are gold. And I'll be honest, I think as an advocate, we were sure happy about that, but also a little bit surprised because we don't actually feel like we're doing that well. I think we have much further to go than that.
Well, that's a good attitude for an advocate to have, isn't it? Never
right.
Satisfied.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, back to Amsterdam for a second is a leap of faith, isn't it, that elected officials have to make here in this country? You can talk about Amsterdam or the great strides that other cities are making, but you just have to commit to building the infrastructure and then it happens. Is it that simple an argument or?
I'm pleased that I think it is getting easier now because we do have more American models to point to.
Mm-hmm.
We were fortunate enough to bring New York City Transportation Commissioner Jeanette Sadiq Khan out to San Francisco just a few weeks ago. She was actually our keynote speaker at a big event called Golden Wheels. And she just, not surprisingly, blew people away with an inspiring speech and real, deep understanding of how to get things done. And
she can get a crowd going, can't she?
Yes. Yes, she really did. And, she was every bit as exciting and inspiring as we hoped. So, just as an example, for many, many years as an advocate, we kind of had to look to European cities or outside the U.S. because those were our models. Well, while those are still great models, today I'm so relieved and happy that we can look at American models. And I think that's so much more relatable. So I think, going to our decision makers, our electeds, our business leaders, we can point to New York and the studies they've done to show that separated bikeways are increasing bicycling. They are increasing safety. They are actually increasing business along those commercial corridors.
That's an important part of any argument for more bike infrastructure, isn't it? The economics.
Yeah, I think it's increasingly important. And I know it's something we here at the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition are spending a lot more time on. I want to say it's not easy. And I would say to communities that are working on this issue, I would suggest getting ahead of this or getting on this issue sooner rather than later. I think the arguments around environmental benefits and health benefits, livability benefits of bicycling are well made. And I think for most sectors of the community, you don't need to necessarily convince people. They get that. But we're having a lot of challenges, I will say, with the perception, and I think it's a misperception, but perceptions are real to people, the perception that creating bike space when it means changing auto space would be bad for business. So that is, I'd say, one of our top challenges right now. And I think it is for the other kind of leading bicycling cities in America as well.
Mm-hmm. Bicycles are competing for space on the roadway with automobiles that have been there for the past many decades now. I can picture in my own neighborhood, you know, parked cars along a major thoroughfare right through the center of town, you know, make life dangerous for cyclists and discourage people. But then you do have the economic concerns that if you remove parking in business districts, that's what you're talking about, huh?
That's right. And I think where that gets tricky, you know, number one, change is hard for people. And, you know, people look at San Francisco, for instance, as a very progressive and, you know, open-minded place. Well, maybe we are in many ways, maybe more than most cities. But when it comes to parking and the way things have been on the street, people suddenly get very set in their ways. So I'd say we have just as many challenges on that front as others.
I can believe that. It's human nature, really, isn't it?
Right. And I think for decision makers, you know, especially at a time like now when we're coming out of a recession, but really any time, for local decision makers, they do not want to be portrayed as doing anything that's hurting the local economy or could risk the local economy.
Or even rocking the boat. Now, some arguments, though, that motorists zip by your business, you know, they're speeding off somewhere really important, whereas cyclists, at the rate that they're going, they're more inclined to pause and frequent a merchant's store?
Absolutely.
The key argument? Yeah.
You know, I think we, especially those of us biking, know that because we've had the wonderful experience of, you know, riding home our regular route down the street and noticing a new bookshop or coffee shop or place we want to check out, and we can easily do that. We can quite easily pull over
a new bakery or any kind of food because you can smell it when you're on a bicycle.
That's right. Yeah. So I think that's a little hard for people to understand. If they aren't regularly biking in a city, they're only thinking about what they think is the speed, like, oh, I go faster in a car. Well, that may not be true either. You know, for a very dense city like San Francisco, frankly, it may be very similar speeds for getting home. But yeah, for those of us biking, we are having that experience of really being close to the businesses and looking in the windows and checking out the new, you know, clothes in a window or the new, you know, food in a restaurant.
Sure.
And I think, you know, however much I'd say again to advocates, it really helps if we can help those decision makers and maybe it's business leaders have the experience of biking. Biking up their own street where they own a business and feeling what it looks like and smells like and sounds like could be a really helpful experience.
Mm-hmm. One thing here in our my local business district, it's called Corona Del Mar Business Improvement District, had a meeting just a week ago, I think, on parking. And, you know, I walk into this meeting thinking I'm going to have to, like, defend or carve out my turf for bike parking.
Right.
And before the meeting even starts, people are tossing questions at me like, how come we don't have any bike racks down at the beach parking lot?
And I want you,
he points to me, the president points to me, and then one of his members and says, I want you two to work together on a, you know, bike rack plan for, you know, the business district.
Right.
So that's exciting. And we only have, you know, a handful in a lovely little business improvement district there. I thought I would maybe poll you for a little advice there. How do we get started as we go about? I mean, there seems to be interest. The business district even says they've got some money.
Oh, great.
How do bike racks get installed in San Francisco? Is it all a city endeavor, or do the business districts get together and do it too?
Yeah. Good question. It has traditionally been a city endeavor. Mm-hmm. The city does use some of their grant funding install the racks, buy the racks, install the racks. So they take care of it. It has been on business requests, though. So one thing that we've done as advocates, and I would definitely recommend, is, you know, we made a simple flyer with, you know, a picture of a bike rack and a few notes about the benefits, you know, help more people park in front of your business. And then we go out and share these flyers with businesses in busy commercial corridors. Now then they can call the city. They need to request it, but it's exciting that it is free for them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a real incentive.
So that sounds like a little advantage I have here with the bid wanting to do it for, like, the whole little neighborhood.
That's great.
That's a nice feature, yeah.
We have had one bid called the Yerba Buena Business Improvement District, which is down by our convention center area. That bid has actually said, hey, we want more than the city can do. We want to increase the pace at a faster rate. So they've actually put their own money towards it. They worked with the city to get the design improved, and I would recommend that. They would need to go through some sort of check-in with the city to make sure that the racks are the right thing and are appropriate.
Because there are bad bike racks, right? Nothing personal, but there are bad bike racks.
Yeah, it's probably that. And you want to make sure that they're I think it's mostly about the placement.
Placement, of course, yes.
And there's some, very important but very simple rules about obviously not blocking a sidewalk, not being in a bus zone, et cetera. So, one exciting idea could be if the bid were interested, would they want to design and build a special bike rack that had some very cool design or character to it. So maybe it's, if you're on the waterfront, maybe it's a sailboat or, something that's got a beachy feel to it.
Right.
Or could be fun to kind of, do something that identifies the business district.
Yeah, right. Adds to the character of the business district. Because there's a strong feeling of this little Corona del Mar business district here. People often call it the village, and it's quite charming. Yeah.
Well, that sounds great.
Let's change gears. I want to go back to big cities again, Leah. Is when you look at Jeanette Sadikan in New York City or Nicole Friedman, who's just on the show a couple of weeks ago, strong mayors, really powerful mayors behind these transportation folks. They have the ability to kind of just by fiat, right, say this is the way it's going to be. Anything like that in San Francisco? We have a strong mayor, or who's championing these bike improvements in San Francisco?
Yeah, I would say we do have a different setup here in San Francisco. It's not as power isn't as centralized in our mayor's office as I sense it is in New York and Chicago and perhaps Boston. So it is a different scenario. We're fortunate that we do have support from the mayor, absolutely, and he's very bike friendly. But we've also built strong support from our local board of supervisors. That's like a city council for most cities. There are 11 members. They each represent a district. So they're representing different parts of the city. And we as advocates have worked really hard to, I'd say, educate and bring along the candidates and those who win as supervisor to really see the benefits of supporting biking. I should mention we also do – our organization is actually two organizations – we have a 501c3 nonprofit and we have a 501c4 nonprofit, and that latter nonprofit is able to make endorsements. And this is a little bit unusual for bike coalitions, but something that's been really, really successful for us, that we do make direct endorsements in local elections. Not all elections, but those that we see a strong connection between our work.
That could be important because, like in New York right now, of course, their mayoral elections are getting too much press these days, but some candidates are running on, at least part of their platform to kind of go in reverse on the bike initiatives. And so that would be really important to point that out to the electorate, huh?
That's right. And I think, we've been able to really show that people who bike are quite organized. And, not only do we take biking seriously and support biking for all sorts of good reasons, but we do turn out at rallies. We do turn out to vote. We do turn out at hearings. We do pay attention to local elections. So that's been a really, I think, powerful tool for us to advance the biking agenda here.
Now, as I hear you describe that, I'm thinking that sounds important here in Newport Beach then, and other beach cities on every side of us are also have these fledgling bicycle advocacy groups. We've got to get out there and build our organizations so that when we do speak, we'll speak with some numbers and some force. And the elected officials, they get that right away, don't they?
That's right. Yeah. The numbers matter, absolutely.
Numbers matter, yes. Yeah. Huntington Beach, one town to the north, they're just wrapping up their bicycle master plan. And they're about a year ahead of us. Here in Newport Beach, we're just commencing ours. Now, sometimes I catch myself thinking that the bicycle master plan is going to be like the ultimate solution to all of our problems. But did San Francisco go through a bicycle master plan? Is that how you got where you are today?
Well, that is a an interesting story. Yeah. I won't go into it too much, but yeah, we have had two official bicycle plans. We're in the midst, let's say, we're living in our second one right now. First, I'll say generally, you know, obviously bike plans are good things because you want to know where you're going. I think the danger is when communities take too long planning and less time doing. So, you know, how do you not let that process stretch out too long? And then number two, how do you make sure a plan really goes somewhere and can be flexible so that, you know, A, it doesn't sit on a shelf, or B, it doesn't constrict you. That can be a problem.
Right. I can imagine.
Go ahead.
The consultants are a party to this too, of course. And all things being equal, in a large city, Newport Beach, only 85,000 though, you know, the bigger the contract, the better. That means the bigger deliverable. That probably means more time taken, I guess, huh?
Yeah. And it's difficult. You know, a lot of this stuff, frankly, a lot of it can be replicable, right? A lot of it is the same in many cities. Mm-hmm. So how do you kind of speed up that part and figure out what's really unique to a community like Newport Beach so that you can focus on that, focus your energy there? And I'd say, you know, again, as an advocate, how do you help make sure there's still progress on the ground during the planning and during the process part of things?
That could be tricky, huh? Because so much emphasis on the big contract, and there's a media spotlight on the master plan too. And right. At the same time, you want to make a little progress, let's say every month somewhere, right?
That's right.
Certainly the opportunities. Well, that's the challenge for us here.
Good now. Luck with that.
Yeah. Thanks. How about cities everywhere doing master plans and adding infrastructure and also bike share systems? What's happening in San Francisco with bike share?
We are very excited. Bike share is finally coming to the San Francisco Bay Area. A little bit delayed, but it is here. It was supposed to start last summer, and it got delayed until this summer. But we now understand it should launch by end of August. Very excited. It will be a more modest program in terms of numbers than we wish as advocates, but we're definitely already working on how to grow that. It will be 500 bikes in San Francisco, and then another 500 bikes basically along the spine of Caltrain, which runs between San Francisco and San Jose. So really covering more of the South Bay area.
Mm-hmm.
So people are very excited. There's a lot of political support, a lot of business enthusiasm. You know, if anything, people are, you know, just anxious to get it on the ground and then to grow it. We all, I think, have a sense that there will be far more demand for the bike share than those numbers will be able to meet.
Yeah, easy to picture that. Just now, do you picture tourists will gravitate to the bike share too? Or is it a tourist emphasis? Yeah, sure.
I wouldn't say it's an emphasis. I think it is being focused more on, you know, local trips.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've seen in places like Washington, D.C. and New York, it definitely will be accessible to people visiting. You know, a lot of people do rent bikes, tourists do rent bikes already in San Francisco. There's a booming bike rental business, and we obviously don't want to take away from that. So we're really emphasizing, you know, for someone visiting the city and wanting to rent the bikes for, you know, 4 or 5, 6 hours, any real amount of time, and head over to the Golden Gate Bridge or do a longer ride, it's still going to make more sense economically for them to use a rental bike.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's, you know, a good business we want to support. Now, really, for the bike share, as you probably know, it's much more about the short trips, a half-hour trip, 45-minute trip, and we think that's going to be really well-suited to locals and some tourist trips as well. Part of what's exciting is, you know, how do we help people visiting San Francisco, and tourism is actually our number one industry here, how do we help tourists visit different neighborhoods?
Right.
We don't just want to send them over the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a great ride, but frankly, we're sending them out of the city. So
right.
How do we help them explore some really unique and wonderful neighborhoods, frankly, so that they are spending money here and exploring the city itself?
Exactly. Like if you stay at one of the hotels in Union Square and then you want to go down to, so many places, the waterfront, bike would be a great way to go. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, much faster than transit for our city.
Yeah, so. Much faster. And you've got great weather, too. You've got a huge weather advantage over some of these other cities we've talked about, huh?
We do. We really expect that bike share will be year-round for us, and that's going to be, I think, a special thing.
Mm-hmm. Leah, can I go into a subject here? I made a note to myself. When we talk about, we've rattled off Boston, New York, Los Angeles, in my neighborhood, too, I observe San Diego, Bike Coalition, Bike Leadership, women demonstrating great leadership here. Is there a correlation there? Is that random? Or why so many women in these strong roles? Any ideas on that?
We love to see it. B, I would say we can always use more. I think it's definitely noticeable. I mean, you see folks like Nicole in Boston. And I'll say I have some great – I'm really proud to have some great peers here in the Bay Area. It's interesting to look around at the various bike coalitions in the Bay Area, and most of the executive directors are women. We have Kim Banish up in the Marin County Bike Coalition,
yes.
Renee Rivera at the East Bay Bicycle Coalition, and Corinne Winters down in Silicon Valley Bicycle Coalition. We all work together very closely, but I think it's a special thing to have so many women leading bike coalitions in one region. And I think it can really help in many ways also, I don't want to say break the stereotype, but help overcome some stereotypes that, biking is more of a male-dominated.
Yes, that's right. You're right.
A more aggressive thing.
Right. I wasn't thinking of that, but I like the way you introduced the San Francisco Bike Coalition, too. It's for, how did you put it?
Yeah, it really is about promoting bicycling for everyday transportation.
Everyday transportation, yeah. Leah, as we wrap up here, I've heard you tell a short story before. How did you get tapped on the shoulder? The very beginnings of your involvement with the San Francisco Bike Coalition?
Yeah, I had moved to San Francisco from Jacksonville, Florida, where I grew up, which is a great but very suburban and very sprawly place. Not a very comfortable place to ride a bike, to be honest. Moved out to San Francisco and got rid of my car. I thought, I live in a big city. I don't need a car. But then was really challenged by the transit system. It really, frankly, didn't get me where I needed to go. So I borrowed a bike from a roommate. Didn't really know what I was getting into, but started riding around the city and found that I actually got to my destinations much quicker, much more reliably and on time, which was wonderful. So I really kind of fell in love with biking. Again, more as a utilitarian need of just getting where I needed to go in a better, timely way. But unfortunately, those early days, I did have some bad experiences too. I remember very well, frankly, being run off the road once by a driver for no other reason than I was biking in a travel lane and he could have easily passed but did not, and literally drove up on a sidewalk to follow me onto the sidewalk and tried to chase me down, which was terrifying. And it shook me a little bit. It really did. And this was, frankly, before I really understood much about bicycling rights or responsibilities or such. I was fortunate enough to find the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition and stumbled upon a small group of people literally in a coffee shop one day soon after that near where I lived, and heard them talk about biking. And frankly, I was kind of eavesdropping as I stood there at the coffee shop, finally walked over and said, wow, what are you guys talking about? What is this? And learned what the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition was, much smaller back then, a couple hundred members. And I literally left that coffee shop that day, signed up not only as a member, but also as the volunteer editor of their newsletter. So it was the days where, you were small and scrappy and took every single ounce of volunteer energy and made the most of it. And I got sucked in back then about 15, 16 years ago, and I'm still here.
Wow, that's San Francisco, the better for it, Leah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I admire you tremendously, the work that you do, and it's been a great pleasure to get to know you.
Thank you, Frank.
I appreciate the advice you share, too, and I'm going to want to call and speak to you again as I get further into this bicycle master plan here.
Good. Well, keep it up down south. We need more good models throughout the state and throughout the country.
We do. All right. Thanks so much, Leah, for joining me on the show today.
Thank you, Frank. Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye. Now we're back in the studio. A few thoughts before we wrap up here. Come by the website, cdmcyclist.com, and leave a comment behind. Got a PayPal donate button, too, that you could hit. That would certainly be appreciated. I've got many other interviews, like we talked about powerful women as leaders in these bicycle coalitions. I've got interviews with several, and they're easy to find on the site, cdmcyclist.com. Come on by, leave a message behind. Leah would love to hear from you. Well, that's it for today's show. Thanks so much for listening, and good day.